Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You've seen a little bit how a couple of hosts have started kind of like cleaning it up a little bit more than where they were previous.
I would lie to you if I say that I didn't think about what I'm wearing if I'm hosting.
You know what, dude? I did the same thing this morning. I can't believe I did it, but I did the same thing.
Really? So what I would used to do, like when I fill in on Saturdays during the college football season, if there's a football team that I really want to bet on, I promise you I have the sweatshirt, so I would wear it. If I'm like, hey, I love Eastern Michigan money line this week, I will wear the Eastern Michigan. It's just like a little subliminal, you know, like, hey, keep it, you know, maybe I can beat the bookie.
That's funny. It's also amazing you own that many sweatshirts and pullovers and all that kind of stuff to make it work. Because I know you have some fun at a lot of different universities all over the place. So.
Well, Dan, when you're a single 24-year-old, you need a hobby somehow. So
it's a valid point.
And it's between that and the American Revolution documentary.
It's a valid. How is that?
It's fantastic.
Is it excellent?
Yes.
I need to watch that.
I think I'm officially a 65-year-old man, but I'm okay with that.
Those Ken Burns docs are unbelievable. It's amazing so cool. How in depth he gets on all of those different things and all the information, and you find yourself learning stuff. I always loved it between those docs and like history classes in general, because you see these people as like, God, what's the way to put it?
Like mythical creatures.
Exactly. You see them in those ways. And then in those documentaries, or like when you go to Mount Vernon or you go to, Monticello, you see them as like the people they are in between there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like kind of cool. Like I'll never forget. We were learning about and we will get back to the Browns shortly. I'll never forget. We were learning about the expansion of the Moors into Europe, right? And how they were like taking over and all that kind of stuff at school. And I remember walking up to the teacher and going, why did they choose to build a stronghold in Barcelona? Because it's very far from where they came from. And the teacher looks at me and says, have you ever seen a picture of Barcelona? And I went, no. And he went, here. And it was the early days of Google where you could hear all the, you know, the dialing and all of that kind of stuff. And he pulled up a picture of Barcelona. And he went, that's why. Because if you're going to be stuck anywhere fighting a war, it may as well be somewhere that you could turn around and go, wow, that ocean's really pretty. I mean, damn, those rocks, that's fantastic. It's amazing how that stuff ends up working out. But yeah, like you see these people as people themselves. And I kind of wonder if, you know, especially with our sports stars and especially with our coaches, when it comes to wanting to move on from them and all that stuff, we forget that there's human beings involved behind that too. And we forget that these guys really are actually trying to do the best that they can. And that maybe success is being measured in a different way than how we're seeing it. And I kind of had one of those moments this week when Nick Costos joined Baskin and Phelps, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, always a good listener. He joins us on Thursdays. And it's always interesting when he says different things, because coming from a different perspective, that national perspective that you brought up a little bit earlier, he sees it from the gambling side, sees it from the national side. Joined us and had this to say when it came to the roster and Kevin Stefanski.
My sense is with the Browns loading up last year in the draft, right? To me, that's kind of a signal that they are building something collectively, right? To look past this year a little bit and look forward a little bit with Kevin Stefanski as the guy you want kind of coaching the next quarterback. So my sense is that Cleveland has done enough here, like coming down the stretch of the season, where I think that you'll probably see everybody come back next year. I would bring everybody back. Like, they smashed this last draft. Like, they killed it with this draft. And if you can get a quarterback that's an actual legitimate starter, I think they are not that far away from cooking with gas here if they can get the right quarterback.
Anthony Elant, the floor is yours.
Oh, my God. What? They're not that far away? Look, I like Nick. I like when he comes on with Baskin and Phelps. I like his hits. I like his content. What else can I say glowingly about him? What? They're a quarterback away. They're like five offensive linemen, a wide receiver number one, and probably, I don't know, a fullback away from being a quarterback away. And also, what have they done over this down the stretch that he's talking about that they've like solidified their job? If anything, over the last 4 weeks, they've done everything to lend themselves to this is not working out. We need to change course here.
This is part. There are parts of what you were saying that I agree with. There are parts of what Nick is saying that I agree with, in that this rookie class has put this organization in a different position than where they were in April. I didn't think they'd hit a home run in this rookie class. This has been a home run. Like, this is, these are building blocks for the future. Well done all the way around. I believe you are 100% right. They are going to need five offensive linemen.
Like,
I want Wyatt Teller to stay. I'd love to see them sign Wyatt Teller long term. He's a delight.
It doesn't seem like they want to want Wyatt Teller long term.
But you're right. They want to throw Tevin Jenkins out there, who I watched with the Bears, not, you know his left from his right, and run into all sorts of issues with the Chicago Bears, and yet they're giving him shots over it. I don't understand it. I know they're probably putting the full court press on Joel Bitonio to come back for one more year. Oh, the question I have is then, okay, so if you're going to put the full court press on to get Joel Bitonio back for one more year, what does that tell you about Zach Zinter? Does that also fall under the swing of the miss category? Can we just move him into that bucket and move on? Yes. Which I think might be our answer.
Also, can I say something real quick about this draft? Look, I love Mason Graham. I love Carson Schwechter, Quinshaw Judkins. So you went 3 for 3 off the rip there. That is fantastic. Those are 5 to 7 year starters. Those are the guys that you build your franchise around. I love it. I loved that tactic. For some reason, I don't know what happened at the end of Friday night into Saturday. They just went AWOL. Dylan Sampson cannot run. Like, you have not been able to use... Well, okay, you haven't been able to use him as this running back two that he was drafted to be. And then you drafted two quarterbacks in a draft where you're going to end up drafting another quarterback next year, and you didn't fill any holes on the offensive line. You didn't get a wide receiver. You didn't help your secondary a little bit. Like, you did not... So this like grandiose draft class that's going to save everybody's job because it's this beautiful building blocks. You got three players. Fantastic. That's more than you could say for a lot of Browns drafts in the past. But after that, it is not great.
I like Dylan Sampson. I think you're going to see more Dylan Sampson as the rest of the season goes. He's starting to look like Tennessee Dylan Sampson again. Him taking that swing pass in the Oakland game. Oh, my God. How old am I? The Las Vegas game, him taking that swing pass there, had a couple nice runs against the Niners. I think you're going to see more of that as they go. All right. I think Dylan Sampson is a keeper. Ron Wolf, why do you draft a quarterback? Three reasons. Starter, backup, trade chip. Okay? That's the three things that happen when you draft a quarterback, right? Well, I guess four, because you could say they flop and you cut them, right? So if we walk in as, here's the other side of drafting quarterbacks too. Cheap. Mm-hmm. What do you need when you're paying a quarterback who's got an Achilles injury on your roster close to, I don't remember what the number is this year, but let's say close to $40 million. What do you need in between? I think it's like a $70 million cap hit. You need cheap, which is what rookie quarterbacks also give you because they're under those cheap contracts. So I'm fine with that in the regard of like, okay, I have to build depth in a quarterback room. Now, fifth round Shedeur Sanders felt like it was, you know, one of those where you start getting to that part of the draft, you're just taking swings of traits. And that's how I looked at the Shedeur Sanders thing, was it was like, all right, he's a fifth round quarterback. He's here, you know. He's here. Let's take the swing. He's the highest rated on our board. Let's take the swing. And like, so that's why I can't hold against them a fifth round pick, because how many of those guys are popping to begin with? I can't hold against them a late third round pick because how many of those guys are going to pop anyway? Not to mention cheap backup quarterback. Fantastic. You need that. So I understand what you're saying. I think this draft class remains a slam dunk because the two guys you got, one was a fifth round pick that was just meant to be a swing. You know, hey, maybe there's something here. Maybe it pops. Maybe if it doesn't, oh, well, cheap labor. We move on. It's not going to kill us. Third round, same exact thing. Like, I feel good about this rookie class, and it's why I understand what Nick is saying there, saying you may have the guy in Stefanski to move this forward because you are actually seeing development. And you're seeing development through these guys. And Isaiah Bond has looked a little bit better of late after him being on the milk carton for a good chunk of the season.
There were cheap quarterbacks this year in Riley Leonard, Will Howard, and Kyle McCord, and all the other guys that were drafted in the sixth and seventh. He's on the practice squad.
Okay.
But like you didn't need to spend a third round pick on him. I would have much rather you continue to build out your roster so that you don't have to rely on Isaiah Bond after his case got dropped to sign him. Like, you know what? I need I would much rather watch the development of a third round offensive lineman or wide receiver than a quarterback who we know can't play.
But we know they saw a diminished or a depressed asset, I should say, in Isaiah Bond and the situation that he was in, and they pounced on it. And they saw that as an opportunity to get a high quality wide receiver in here who had the issues that he had in the offseason. Am I a little sick and tired of being very, very well hearsed in Texas law? Yeah. Yeah, I really am. I as a sports talk radio host, I should not feel like I could practice law in Texas. All right. I don't love it either. But they saw it and they went after it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's looked better now than it did in the beginning. And we'll see what the offense looks like with these guys. Hopefully all of them, everything is behind them. And hopefully we are not spending an offseason reading a police blotter and having to practice law in the state of Texas. I am with you there, okay? But the guy is here now. He's under contract. He hasn't done anything since.
Well, and the issue isn't that you had to like wait for a guy. It was that you didn't find somebody. My issue with the draft class is like, I'm not asking for you to bat 1,000, which I know is kind of what it is sounding like, but I need some sort of strategy for it. And if your strategy for picks 1 through 3, all the way down to Quinshon Judkins, was we're going to build out the ancillary roster around a quarterback, then I need to take that same draft philosophy into the day 3 pick so that we can continue to build up a roster a little bit. Like Gage Larvidan's your kick returner.
Okay.
I would have loved that to be
a third
or fourth
round.
Well, it was
supposed to be DeAndre Carter, and he blew out his, you know, he has an injury right now. I shouldn't say it is blew out. That's very insensitive. He's fighting an injury right now that he is coming back from. Mm. So that kind of shot that plan in the foot. And a lot of teams don't have designated punt returners, kick returners, all that kind of stuff. Special teams has been an absolute train wreck. You're right. I wish someone else besides Gage Larvidan was out there. But I could kind of look at that and go, all right, that's just bad luck.
So real quick, do you agree with him that over these last couple of weeks, like down the stretch here, they've proven enough that they should get another year?
I want to see how the rest of it goes. I want to see what this looks like. I want to see if it looks better. I want to see if more points find their way around. I want to see if the quarterback develops a little bit more to where he's doing full field reads instead of half field. I want to see them be able to move the ball down the field and look like a coherent offense instead of this offense that frankly feels constipated.
It's just frustrating that we had to wait until they're 3-9 for that to happen. That's the case, against the Raiders and they ended up losing the Jets game, but against the Jets and Dolphins, like, we had to wait until the season was basically over for us to see any sort of quote unquote progress.
If this heads south, farther south. Because trust me, even those people who are right now slamming their desks at work and going, oh my God, you think it can't get worse? Yes, it can. Trust, don't tempt them. They'll do it. Like, it can always get worse. I want to see what the rest of this looks like. I call him the best friend of the program. He is as good as they come. I love talking to him every time. He's the former Indians lefty. He is the current Rays color analyst. He is BA. He is Brian Anderson. What's up, BA? How are you? Anthony Lamp, Brian Anderson.
Well, hello, gentlemen. How are we doing on this fine Friday?
I am well, my friend. I am real well. The sun is out. Now, granted, it's like 25 outside, but the sun is out, so we'll take all that.
You know what? Listen, I get it. You know, I know how winter can be. Fall's actually beautiful back home, but I know that winters can be cruel. However, even with the cruel temperatures, when the sun is out, it does. It feels different. I totally get it. So, take what you can get.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. We'll start with the Browns. We were kicking around. I don't know if you saw the Jeremy Fowler piece floating around of ESPN saying that if Kevin Stefanski were to be moved on from the Browns, according to a couple AFC executives, he would be of interest for other teams. Does that change your thought on Kevin Stefanski if you would keep him or move on from him?
I think it probably gives you pause. I mean, I don't think this is anything that's catching the Browns hierarchy by surprise at all. You can see that. He's a two-time coach of the year, and here recently in the last five or six years, two times he has been the coach of the year. So, he needs to have some guys. And when you look at what has happened on the offensive side, again, it goes right back to when you had that really good year with Baker. Of course, it was the pandemic year, so it was a little off. And, you win the playoff game against Pittsburgh, but there's nobody in the stands. And so it just has a different feel to it. And then everything from then on has just gone downhill. And it started with you get rid of Baker, you bring in Deshaun. That, turns out to be a complete train wreck. You catch lightning in a bottle with Flacco for about a month and a half there a couple seasons ago that got you into the playoffs, but then you got blown out by Houston. And so, and then the draft. And then you're trying to figure out, is Dylan Gabriel, can he be the guy? Can Shedeur Sanders be the guy? You keep trying to figure it out, and there's no cohesiveness, and there's nothing working on, the offensive end. I think that if he had a guy, his system – it works in today's NFL. It really does. That establishing a strong running game, which you think is going to be a real big possibility for the Browns moving forward with the backs that they have with Judkins and Sampson and whoever else you're going to supplement that with. But you run the ball, the play action pass, the tight ends. You've got two stud tight ends in Fannin and Njoku. Who knows how much longer Njoku is going to be around. But that system does work. So you can see that teams that feel like they're ready to take that next step. And you're like, I saw the team, the Giants were one of the teams that were, that was mentioned. And you think about, Jackson Dart, you've got some pieces there. Yeah. He would be a guy that could come in and with his system probably have a lot of success. So the problem with Cleveland is you got to find the guys. You've got to find the guy, number one, under center. Until then, you're gonna be wanting to run Kevin Stefanski right out of town. But at the same time, when his offensive system has been running cohesively, which it obviously has done for a couple of seasons, or he wouldn't be coach of the year, his system does work. So you can see why he would be in demand perhaps if he is let go. But is he a good fit right now for this team? I mean, that's for people way above my pay grade to decide.
Brian, I have a two-parter. With Deshaun Watson being activated, or the practice window being open this week, Number one, do you think he's going to play at some point this year? And number two, should Shedeur Sanders be looking over his shoulder because his practice window's been activated?
I think it's. I think that any athlete, and they can tell you otherwise, and you know, how many times have we seen in sports, forget football, any sport, where a guy will, you know, a GM will come out, an owner will come out and give, you know, the guy, you know, his seal of approval. He's going to be here. You know, this is my guy. And then a month later, a couple of weeks later, that guy's gone. So I think that even if, you know, Stefanski or Barry, whoever, says, listen, Shedeur Sanders is going to get his time down the stretch to see, to prove if, you know, is he going to be a guy moving forward? Can he be a guy that we build around? Will there be as much progress as we hope to have been made? Will we see that and think that, hey, this could be our QB1 moving forward? Even with all that said, Deshaun Watson gets activated, he starts practicing, any athlete is going to be looking over his shoulder. Whether they say they are or not, they are going to, unless you are firmly established and entrenched as the guy, which both Sanders and Gabriel, that's not the case, then you are going to be looking over your shoulder, especially with a quarterback who has actually been there for quite a bit of time and for a time in his career, has been able to get it done at a pretty high level. So you're going to be looking over your shoulder, but that cannot... It cannot distract you from the task at hand, which is self-improvement, which is you finding a way to build some camaraderie with your receivers and you continuing to grow as a quarterback. So I guarantee you that there's a peek over the shoulder, but the focus every day that you're heading to that facility or even going home from practice, whatever it may be, the focus has to be ahead. How am I getting better? What can I do for my game? I can't be worried about this guy, but at the same time, it does linger in the back of your head. There's no question about that. Then you just hope that it doesn't affect performance, because really at this point in Sanders' career, obviously it's just getting started. This is a really important stretch for him.
Well, it's so interesting because we're all in a situation too, BA, where everybody's saying, you know, you need him to get a little bit more free. You know, you want him to kind of read everything. You want him to do that stuff. Were you ever in that situation? Because it sounds like one of those things where, you know, you're very much trying to thread this needle of like, I want to be free. I want to be doing what I do best. And at the same point, I'm kind of tightening up because I know that I have to be at my best.
Yeah, that can be a really tough way to play. And that's where I think the preparation comes in. And the preparation, and when you feel good about the preparation, you feel good about the game plan, and you feel good about the ability to be able to go out and execute it, then you can play free. I mean, I hate to bring up old 80s hair band rock, but Winger, and I was never a huge Winger fan, but they have a lyric. They literally...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They have a lyric in one of their songs that says, play the game like you've already won. And that has always stuck with me. Because think about that. If you go out and play, knowing that you've already won, you play free. You play easy. You make things happen. And I know it's Kip Winger, the whitest teeth in 80s rock. I get it. But that lyric does really stand the test of time. Play the game like you've already won. And if you can go out and do that, your very best will be put on display. Easier said than done, but that's the mindset that you have to have.
Brian, would you want the Browns to get a quarterback this year in the draft, like either trade up for one or stick where they are, or do you want the bridge quarterback approach?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, that's what they tried this year. You know, and they ran Flacco out of there pretty quickly, and you know, he went on to Cincinnati and tried to bridge their gap until Joe Burrow came back. So I don't know if I would want to go down that road. However, they have to evaluate what's going to be available in the draft. And are you even going to be able to have a shot at that guy? Or is, you know, there are a couple of teams ahead of you that you're going to have a hard time getting in front of. I mean, I know you do have two first rounders, that helps, but it comes down to the evaluation. And if they think that there is a guy in this draft, then that's what you would like them to go and do. Because, you know, quite frankly, at this point, I don't think that there's any surefire way to say that the Browns have the answer right now. You hope that maybe Sanders could be it. I don't think that Dillon Gabriel, as much as I love everything about him as a person, a competitor, you know, going out there, he lays it all on the line. I don't think that anybody believes that he's the guy. He'd be a nice backup, you know, like Chase Daniel was for 15 years or however long he was in the league. He could be that guy, but I don't ever think anybody looks at him as QB1. And so you hope that it could be Sanders, but hope's a lot of times a bad strategy. So I don't know. And so if they don't feel that way, then you've got to be sold on who you can get in the draft. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And it's something that they have not gotten right. I mean, we all know the saga of Cleveland starting quarterback since coming back in 1999, and it just has not been resolved yet. And so, you know, you hope for the best, but so far it has not been good.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the Fan Hotline. All right, I meant to ask you this for like a month, and we always end up getting derailed with far more important things. So you were at South Carolina, Alabama. What did you think watching Lenora Sellers and Ty Simpson?
Sellers has unbelievable athletic ability and his ability to throw the ball down the field. I mean, a flick of the wrist and that ball just carries. You know, the consistency was not there. I think that, you know, he's the guy in the draft. He's another Gabriel Sanders type that you're going to get further down the road. He's not going to be one of the top guys to come out, although all the athletic ability in the world. What I don't know, you can see the athletic ability on display. You can see the way the ball comes out of the hand. You can see all of that. Can he dissect the defense? Can he read a defense? You know, those are the things that are most important. Can he come up to the line, recognize what he sees, you know, move the protection, change it, whatever. Those are the things that make quarterbacks. You know, they're all, for the most part, athletically gifted, and certainly Sellers is. Simpson, pretty interesting watching him and you know, hearing, you know, the kind of the draft buzz around him growing. You know, he looked fantastic in that ball game, especially in the second half when they, you know, really South Carolina had them beat, had them absolutely beat. And they opened the door a crack in Simpson, and they were able to kick it open and win that ball game. So he's very intriguing to me, no question. Sellers' athletic ability is off the charts, but it's all the intangibles, all the stuff that, you know, as a layman, just watching it from my point of view, I don't know if he's able to do those things. But certainly an unbelievable athlete, and, you know, what an atmosphere to be around, an SEC, you know, showdown. I've never been to one of those types of games before, and it was everything it's cracked up to be. What an absolute blast that trip was.
I was going to say, worth it. Everybody needs to get down and see an SEC game. It's on my list, man. I've got a couple buddies where every year we look at each other and go, we should pick like a big college football game and try to get there every year just to be in the midst of it.
Yeah. No, it's off the charts. And South Carolina was not having the year that they were as expected to have, but it is Alabama. It was homecoming weekend. and the crowd was, I mean, they were into it. It was awesome. It was such a great atmosphere. I would say that I would highly recommend, you know, getting to a couple of powerhouse teams, you know, at Georgia, you know, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, those. I had a buddy, he's actually our producer for the Rays games TV side. His name's Kevin Patterson, and he's got a child at Alabama. And he was telling me, he had gone up for a game earlier in the year. He said, you need to go see an SEC home game between two, you know, big schools. He said, it is like nothing that you'll ever experience. And I went to it, and I'm like, you know what? He's absolutely right. It's just the pageantry of everything. You know, going to a Browns home game and big Browns home games, those are always fun, but they have a professional feel to them. Where college, you get the dopey college kids, and you get the bands, and you get all of the different little traditions that they do. It's just different, and it is so fun, and really, it encompasses the entire weekend. I mean, this is something that starts to build on Thursday night. You start to feel it on Friday, and then here comes game day and all the pageantry of game day. It's like nothing I've ever experienced before football-wise. It was a blast.
See, that's fantastic. You need – I'll send it to you. There's a Twitter account of Texas A&M's police blotter. You will die laughing. It is one of the funniest things you will ever read, because it's basically just these cops arresting drunks and then they're having to like release them to sober friends or sober mothers. My personal favorite is the moment you'll get somebody who is drunk and they call a friend and the friend's drunk too to come pick them up. I got to send it to you. You'll die. It's outstanding.
I believe it. I believe it. That's college kids for you. We were all there. We were all there. Absolutely. So we all know. It's an atmosphere unlike anything that I had been around.
You're a legend, buddy. All right, take care of yourself. We'll be talking.
All right, boys, have a great weekend.
You as well.
Deshaun Watson gets activated. He starts practicing. Any athlete is going to be looking over his shoulder. Whether they say they are or not, they are going to, unless you are firmly established and entrenched as the guy, which both Sanders and Gabriel, that's not the case, then you are going to be looking over your shoulder.
Brian Anderson joining us, former Indians starting pitcher, current Rays analyst, and gargantuan Browns fan. Actually hosted a Browns TV show in town for a good period of time as well when he was here. Joined us a segment ago. If you missed that one, Radio Rewind to that. Dan Manigan, Anthony Lant in for Baskin and Phelps today. We got you to 2 o'clock before we throw you to afternoon drive. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up. Right at that 105, 115 area, somewhere in there he usually hits. Is once practice is done, you're going to want to hear that due to the fact you're going to find out who's active, who's inactive for the week that is to come. It's such an interesting place that the Browns find themselves in right now, because this isn't what sports is for, Anthony. This is not what we should be doing. But it's the way that this thing is set up that is truly the problem. Like, I feel like I'm doing the Animal House, like standing up right now and going, not only are you insulting the entire college fraternity, but you're insulting the United States of America. I feel like that's what I'm doing throughout this entire thing. Because the Browns are in a position right now where they're facing the Tennessee Titans. This basically is the battle for the number one pick. If you lose this game, you do get closer to getting the number one pick. And you could grab whomever you want. You could get your quarterback if you want to. You could do all those different things. If you win this game, you distance yourself from the quarterback that you probably want. Then you got to use that Jacksonville pick. Maybe you got to sweeten the pot a little bit more. Do you want to win this game? Like honestly, let's all together have a moral conversation. Do you want to win this game?
I kind of do, and I kind of hate that I do.
Why do you hate yourself for wanting to win? just say that statement out loud and you understand exactly where we are right now, because I'm in the same place. We should never be actively rooting for our teams to lose, but we're kind of looking at stuff going, oh man, I feel like such a jerk because I want them to win.
I went out for the Raiders game and watched a game at a bar and had fun with it. All my friends were out and that was fun. That was cool to see. That was fun to see a win. I remember earlier in the year when we beat the Packers and driving around downtown and beeping.
So much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Beeping and heckling cheeseheads. I enjoyed doing that. It's always fun in downtown Cleveland when they win.
Why are you heckling the nicest people in America?
I know. I felt bad about it. But I was just so excited that they won that game.
They probably looked at you, oh yeah, sure. You know, they don't win as many as they should, you know, so we'll give them this one.
If you need a beer to help you celebrate, we can help.
It did. I felt bad doing it, but I did it nonetheless. So my only like want to in really wanting them to win is the fact that I love what it's like around downtown Cleveland when they win. But also, like, if I wasn't 24 years old going out and doing all those different things, like if I was, you know, a father that was watching these games from home and then I just had to go, you know, get ready for my week ahead, I don't know if I'd want them to win, because the reality of the situation is it benefits your franchise to lose this game. It benefits your franchise to finish 3-14, I think. Because in theory, like you said, you have your cream, you have your pick of the litter.
I feel the same way. It's I want them to win, and I know everybody is going to start laughing, because I think they need to establish some kind of a winning culture of like, this is what we do to gain wins in the NFL. This is how we get these rookies, and this is how we get those second-year guys who didn't see a whole lot of it and don't have a firm reminder of, you know, being here the last couple of playoff runs, you know, the 2020 playoff run, 22 playoff run. Like, they have no recollection of those things. Those didn't happen. So I understand wanting to win, but the problem is, this is why people get mad at me. Because I want to abolish the draft. I want to get rid of the draft. I want to get rid of it in every single sport. I think it is one of the silliest things that we do. I would have all of them become free agents, negotiate your contracts, go out there, and the best teams will get the better players and the teams that could prove that they develop, and the opportunities will be there. I don't think you're going to run into a situation where you get these teams backlogging a whole lot of talent. I think what has happened in college football is exactly what would happen in the NFL. Mm. You would get all of these guys going to places where they would be able to play. You would get all of these transfers that would find themselves in these different areas. I think that's exactly what would happen. We've watched in college football. When they opened up NIL, they went, oh my God, Alabama's going to buy everyone. Well, guess what? Alabama didn't buy everyone. Julian Sand transferred from Alabama to Ohio State. Why? So he could play. So, like, clearly this whole idea that you're going to backlog these guys. Lenore Sellers went to South Carolina so he could play. Fernando Mendoza went from Cal to Indiana. Why? So he could play and have a better chance. I think the NFL would be the same way, because it gets rid of these conundrums that we're in the middle of right now, and these quandaries, which is looking at each other going, am I better off losing? What kind of sports fandom is that? I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? Oh, well, I want to make sure I get the higher pick. What? That's not what we're here for. That's not what we want. That's not how we raise our children to look at sports. That's not how we do any of this stuff. Like, get rid of this draft and let your team just be able to negotiate with the players who are there so you don't have to play this game.
So my other argument, again, like, obviously I want them to win because of all the things that I said earlier. The other argument, aside from the draft and getting a higher draft pick on if you want them to lose, is if you want Kevin Stefanski gone, this is a great indicator if they lose this game. Because every single time this year that we've gone into a game like this against the Dolphins, against the Raiders 2 weeks ago, it was a game where this is a dilapidated team. This is a team that's given up on their head coach. And if they just lose this game, we might be able to, like, this is the marker to where we can get rid of Kevin Stefanski and really start getting towards something new. If that's what you're like, if that's what your argument is. And because the Raiders and the Dolphins suck, and because, I don't know, maybe Kevin Stefanski's just fantastic at coaching with his back against the wall, they were able to win those games, and so you just feel like you're staving off the inevitable. And, like, so at this point in the year, winning doesn't do you a whole lot except for establishing a winning culture, except for the fact that they're 4-9 if they win this game. That's not exactly, you know, a winning mantra. And going into the Bears and the Bills and, like, a really hard last four games in the year, so I don't know if you're necessarily like, we're like a winning franchise now if we beat the 1-11 Titans. But if you're looking for Kevin Stefanski and everybody to get moved on from and get fired, you might want them to lose this game.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think of it that way. If you're, you know, there are a chunk of people who are out there who really do feel that way, that it's blowtorch Kevin Stefanski and get him out of here. You know, this needs to go, and this needs to get so rock bottom that, you know, I don't know if people are like wanting players to openly rebel. I have no idea what's going to happen, because I don't think you're going to ever get that. I don't think you're going to get players to openly rebel in a locker room with Joe Bitonio and a lot of those other vets that are in there. They're probably not going to let that happen. That's an interesting point if he wants Stefanski out. As somebody who thinks he can coach, though, like, I think I want to win this game. And I think it's due to the fact that you have that Jags pick. So anything that you want in the draft, you can go get. You go trade whatever you need to trade to go get that guy. I think that's where my head is. Is I want them to win this because I think a win might be better for the organization in general, and it might be better for the health of the younger players because you have to start building this somewhere. At some point, you need to look at this roster and try to determine which direction the arrow is pointing. And we'll get into that a little bit later when it comes to this roster, which direction the arrow is pointing. But you need to get it to where it's pointing up. The thing that is breaking my brain more than anything is the people who are calling in and are saying, well, let's just build for the dome. Let's. And it's like, dude, I don't think you realize that that's 3 years away.
Yeah.
4 years away. And like, you can turn this around a lot faster. 31 other teams have figured out how to turn this thing around a lot faster than 4 years.
As you talk about rock bottom and going into both of those Dolphins and the Raiders games, that a loss to those two teams at both points would have felt like a rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Like it really can't get any worse than this. This is the same thing going into the Titans game. And the other thing is, like, we beat the Raiders. That was awesome. You know, Shedeur Sanders looked like he could manage an offense. And then what happened the next week? He got blown out. He had the lowest DPA of any starter in the NFL. And so you're just, you know, putting lipstick on a pig for another week. And you're mm-hmm. staving off the inevitable. And you're not able to properly look at the team like they're not that good. What? So I think it's just putting rose-colored glasses on for another week if you win.
And I know this is a name that gets a lot of anger around here, and for good reason. Michael Lombardi always had the thought, because he was a huge Philadelphia 76ers fan as well. And I remember he would hop on Bill Simmons' pod in between there, and they would talk about the 76ers. And he would talk about the culture that would take place during the process. You know, they would call it, you know, the process where they were just tanking. You know, the Michael Carter Williams years, the Ben Simmons, everywhere in between there to get all of those players. Mm. And he would always talk about how bad of a taste that left in your mouth that you didn't have the expectations of winning games and how that did not build things the right direction. And I buy into that. And I know North Carolina has been a mess. I know that he's goofed up Cleveland. I know he goofed up, you know, all those different places, but that's such a great thought to have, that philosophy of bottoming out and then trying to turn a culture into winning around and how long that takes to do it. I think that's true. And so I would rather go out and be able to win these games and win these winnable games to go, this is what you do in the NFL. Now, when the talent backs this up and we go into the offseason and we develop these things, and we get guys stronger and we go take that step forward, now we're going to have more of these games along the way.
I agree that the total tank out, like clean everything out, yeah, does not work. It didn't work with the Sixers. It didn't work for the Browns under the Sashi Brown, like strip this thing down to the brass knuckles of it and just move on from there.
5 years to get a winning culture back, and that was Kevin Stefanski coming in.
The difference between that and now is that there's legitimate talent on this team. You have an otherworldly defensive player. You have the defensive rookie of the year. You have some good offensive pieces.
He had a Hall of Fame left tackle. Yeah, you're probably right. This is in far better shape than that was. You are 100% right there.
So
that's correct.
They didn't clean this thing out other than basically the Deshaun Watson contract basically forced them to clean this out because they couldn't sign anybody else. So you're getting scrap heap players off, you know, off free agency. So that's the only other difference of, like, they were trying to win this year. They were trying to win last year. And guess what? You've won six games over the last 2 years in a world, in a couple of year span where you were supposed to be competing and building off of 2023, and you haven't. So I don't know what winning against the Titans does. I don't know what, you know, making Cam Ward continue to look bad does. I think it's just reinforcing some really, really bad habits that, hey, the status quo is okay because we are now one win better than we were last year.
Social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Nosebleed Dog Pound chimes in saying, not to mention the strategy never works. That never worked for the Clippers, and they've been doing it. They tried it for like 20 plus years. I think that's where I am. I think you need to win this game. I think this is one of those games that your locker room needs it, your coaching staff needs it, your organization needs it far more than they need that draft pick.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.